Well, today, as you know, our class has been how to remain godly in an ungodly world and how to survive election year in America. We had a primary yesterday. But we have another, say I got a new device here, another episode of The Few this morning. So we have a new set of panelists today that I'm very glad are here to share their thoughts. We have Peter Berry, Kenny Watkins, Danny Medrano, and Abram Rowell. So, yes, give them a big round of applause. I appreciate them listening to the classes and preparing some thoughts for us. And as you know, the format of The Few is that each panelist will have 5 minutes to discuss their thoughts on what we've covered. And so we'll go through that. And then after we've done the 5 minutes each, we will come back and do a lightning round of 90 seconds each. And if we have time at the end, we'll open it up for questions. Sometimes we have time, sometimes we don't, depending on whether the panelists use all of their time or not. So that's what we're doing today. And so, get my timer out. We will start round one, and you're up.
Okay. Hey, it works. Good. Good morning. So, this is an interesting puzzle for me because there's a lot of passion behind politics, and I grew up with politics. But I think last week the class focused on Colossians 3, the focus on things above, not on earthly things. And that is super critical because I went and looked up some statistics yesterday just because I keep hearing individual stories. As I understand it, based on reporting by The Guardian, we've had actual violence in the name of Trump, maybe not done by Trump, but in the name of Trump, done, committed 3 times in 2015, 17 times in 2016, 14 times in 2017, 10 times in 2018, and it was a partial year for 2019, 8 times. That's crazy stuff. And on the flip side, we've had, and it's a different kind of a metric, but a different source, because I couldn't find one source that had the same metric for everything, some 300-plus crimes committed against people who represented Trump, wearing a MAGA hat or whatever it might be. So don't compare the numbers, because they're different sources. But you're welcome to compare the stupid, right? It's amazing to me that we're getting violent. We're creating threats about each other in these things. Why do I bring that up? Because this world is out there, and we're influenced by the world. So a lot of the class for the last 2 weeks has been on how do we behave in the church, right? What do we have to do? How do we manage this message? Because you get out there and you get online and you start talking to people and you get caught up in that craziness. So what can we do? The real thing is, you know, I think a lot of us just don't talk politics. I asked this in the Spanish ministry the other day, but you can raise your hands if you want to, but how many of you are really uncomfortable being around politics conversations? Anybody? Okay, just uncomfortable. We don't want to be in the middle of that. And some people I know, because I've met some, are sitting out and skipping this class because they don't want to be in the middle of a political conversation. Okay, so some have self-selected out. This is a crazy place in the world. And I just kind of circled back to, in the church, we've got to be above that. We've got to be focused on Christ, Christ-centered. Paul, we talked 2 weeks ago about in Galatians, Paul confronted Peter, right? About a slightly different thing, but very emotional topic. We read in Acts 15 about the council in Jerusalem and what they were trying to say and how they were managing the message of what has to happen, right? How we're going to get the message out there, what we're going to do without having infighting between, at that point, the Gentile background and the Jewish background. You need to become a Jew before you can become a Christian, right? And that whole discussion. Very sensitive, very personal to people. It was a big deal. So we take these things very personally, right? So congratulations to Biden. One big yesterday, apparently, the firewall held. We'll see what that means for the Democratic primaries. But some people are taking that very, very personally, right? So how do we rise above it? We focus on what matters. And that's just really important to me. At my workplace, the way we handle that is nobody talks politics. Full stop, not at all, not a little bit. You just don't. If you do, you probably get in trouble with HR. That's just the way it is. Because it's too much to handle. People can't deal with it. I don't know at church that we need to be that scared of ourselves, but as we approach it, we really need to be cautious. You don't necessarily know a whole lot about what I believe. You may assume a lot about what I believe. Probably the one in the room who knows the most about what I believe is Danny, because he and I talk about politics a fair amount. But Nancy may know a lot too, but she probably tries to ignore it. She's one of the ones who's uncomfortable and raised her hand, I think, right? So she tries very hard. But at a practical level, can we walk by the Spirit? Can we walk with the Spirit? Can we have a compassionate and forgiving attitude? You look at what we said.
20 seconds.
It's easier to be mean when it's dispersonal. It's easier to be mean online. It's easier to be mean with your bumper sticker. It's easier to be mean when it's not face-to-face. Let's never carry that over. Let's not even be mean in those circumstances, but let's not carry it to the people. So how do we work? We love one another, right? So there's my alarm. So let me part with the sentence I wanted here, and I'm trying to find it on my sheet. But do not practice the anger, the malice, but practice the compassion and forgiveness.
Amen.
Let's focus on that.
All right. Well, it's an honor to be on the panel here and discuss with you some of my thoughts on how to remain godly in the election year and some of the things that Mr. Berry shared here. I have been experiencing these things. I'm watching all the debates and even today on my way here, I was praying, God, I don't know how involved in politics I am. And then I had to stop for a second and say, wait, I'm very involved in politics this year. And who ends up being our president is important to me. Who ends up being the Democratic nominee is important to me. And I reviewed both previous classes, and Mr. Collier here had some wonderful things to say and some accurate things to say about both political parties. But the theme seemed to be focused around how Jesus broke down the wall of hostility. I know for me, I need scripture in a time like this to just keep me centered. So I want to read a couple of scriptures that I thought really impacted me and brings me kind of back to where my mind needs to be. All right, so first scripture I want to read is Romans 13 here. Romans 13 down in verse 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And in a class the other day that Steve McKenyon was leading, he made a point that acceptance does not mean approval. Let me say that again. Acceptance does not mean approval. There are things in all the parties that we, some things that we may agree with and some things that we disagree with. You know, some hard ethical questions, things like abortion, gay marriage, things like that, that are tough. And there's always an exception to the rule. And you get polarized on one point of each topic, and then someone brings a good argument up and say, wait a minute, that's a good argument, you know. So it's important that there is a submissive spirit and a clear mind when I'm in an election year. I try to remain submissive to God's authorities. I don't have to accept everything that every candidate is saying, and I don't have to approve of it. And if I do accept some things, that doesn't mean I approve of all things. So I think keeping the spirit of submission to the scripture, if the scriptures say God place people in these positions and I need to submit to them, I need to submit to God's word. I might not always agree, but just a reminder for myself that acceptance isn't approval.
Good morning. One of the things that it came to my mind when I was studying and listening for the last couple Sundays is that Peter just mentioned that when we talk about politics, it's like a taboo. You know, I remember when I was a kid that we could not even talk about sex, you know, because it was something that nobody wanted to talk. But it's a reality, and we have to go through. I'm the only one probably here that I was born and raised in another country. And I remember escaping from a civil war because of a dictatorship. And I remember my mom and my grandma, no matter, you know, how dangerous it was, they always went in boat. Because there was a hope through the boat that something good will happen. But it never did. Then we went to 10 years of war. That's the reason why I'm here in this country. And it was desperate, and nobody understand how important it is to have the freedom to elect our president, our Congress. To me, it's a privilege, and I understood that when I became a citizen. Naturalized citizen. Guess what the first thing I did when I got my citizenship? I ran out of the building. I looked to the left, I looked to the right, and I went and I registered. You know. From then on, I started voting. And I showed my children, I got 4 grown children. Everybody wants vote. And they know that I like to do my research, and they call me, you know, every time there is an election. Dad, what do you think? You know, and I like that. Now with my John's son, as soon as he became 18, I actually raised her. He didn't want to do it. I did it for him. Yeah. He doesn't know he's a Democrat. You know. So. You know. And every morning... every time that is an election, and nobody in my house knows that we need to go and vote. So what I asked the night before, I say, hey, guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to take you to breakfast. But, you know, I got a surprise for you. We're going to do one stop. I said, okay, Dad, what is it? A new car, you know? Say, no, you will see. Come on, Dad, tell me. And my wife said, what is it? And, you know, they don't have a clue until they get to that. To the election place. I said, oh, my God. And I asked him my list to one of them, you know, and they make the choice. And they choose it because they don't... My wife, she trusts me, my judgment. My son, he doesn't care that much. but he will do what I, you know, what I, you know, based on the information that I have, he said that he does what I ask him. But that's the way, you know, it works for me. For someone that came from another country and went through a horrible war and now has the freedom to elect, you know, and I know that a lot of people feel that nothing changed, nothing, you know, but I heard somewhere, that some people get the government they deserve, you know. But I believe so that if you do your part, that's all it matters. The next day you have to go to work anyway, you know. Nothing changed, but at least you did your part. It's a civil, you know, civil duty that you have to do. And that's the way I feel, you know. A lot of times, you know, controversies and, you know, it start because people say it's passion, but it's not, you know. You cannot defend the indefensible, you know. It's funny, though, because Peter and I, God chose us to be my disciple. And every time, you know, I go to him for an issue that I have or, you know, he wants just to talk to me.
20 seconds.
We always reserve about half an hour to talk about politics, you know. And he knows, and I know, that we are among saved people. He can say anything. Sometimes it hurts me, you know. But at the end of the day, Peter is a great intellectual person, you know, and I trust him, and nothing changed. So what I wanted to tell you is don't feel, you know, that you're under pressure, because there is no pressure other than the one that you feel it is. Be thankful to God.
Good morning. It was funny because when I first sat up here, Danny actually asked me if I was old enough to vote. And I am, so. But I want to start out with Isaiah 1:17. It reads, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." Romans 13:10 says, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." And so I think, just personally, when I look at myself as a disciple, as someone who's committed to following Jesus, if there are things in my worldview, political or otherwise, that don't agree with what's in the Bible, with what God's word says and what he wants for my life, I have to reconcile those things through prayer and fasting if need be, because everything in the Bible doesn't always sit well with me immediately, if that makes sense, especially if I'm in an emotional state or things like that. But this is a life I'm chosen to live, and a lot of the people in this room have chosen to live that same life. They've committed to that same thing. And so I think that on certain issues and certain overarching ideals, we certainly can agree politically regarding justice, regarding focusing on God, regarding divisions within the church. And I'm trying to stick to the script here. But God has marked out a path for each one of us, and he loves us. And he loves the people that are opposed to us politically. God wants us to be on the same path with him, and through Jesus we get that opportunity. But at the end of that path, at the end of all of our lives, we have to give an account for the things that we do and say to other people, because God is just. And God will make sure justice gets done, even if it's not in this life. And I have to remember that when I'm thinking about different political things. And I think that's why a focus on God is so important, especially with people who have not committed to a biblical standard, if that makes sense. Matthew 9:36 reads, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." And Whenever you meet anyone, you have to understand that before you met that person, they had a whole life that they led before they met you. And the things that they think and the things that they believe were shaped by that and experiences that they had. And a lot of those people are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. A lot of those people have had some leader or politician offer them hope and justice, claiming that they will shepherd them to greener pastures. And I think whenever we talk to anyone, we have to keep that in mind and understand that that's an important part of that. Recently, I had the opportunity to go to South Africa, and we got to learn a lot about Mandela. And something that I thought was very, very wise and cool and biblical was after the end of apartheid, Mandela focused on one thing that was very, very important to him in his administration as president was that he kept white South Africans in the conversation. He kept them in positions of power. He made sure they were like a part of the government process. And I think something he understood and something that we have to understand that is that when this election is over, two things are still going to be around. Those things are God and usually that person who opposed you, if that makes sense. And if we have to continue living as disciples peacefully and lovingly and
20 seconds
with other people, we have to... We have to make sure that we remember that. We have to make sure that in this time we don't say anything that when we give that account later on, when that judgment comes, that we're going to regret. And so our conversations have to make room for the thoughts and opinions of others.
Go for it.
Okay.
The lightning round. So Peter has 90 seconds along with everybody else.
Is the lightning going to strike? Okay. So I'm here for you, Raphael. You had to come up with something. Okay. So am I an East Coast elite? Am I a bitter clinger clinging to my guns and Bibles? I don't think it matters, right? Ultimately, I'm not sure that I qualify for either one. Truth is that there's not a single candidate or incumbent who fully matches my moral stance, my preferences, my thoughts. So I have a choice. I can either not vote, I can just step away from the political system, and there's a decent argument to be made for that, by the way. I think Danny just made a really good argument not to do that, but I could. Or I can vote and swing with whatever direction makes the most sense to me overall, and I have to put up with some garbage along the edges of whichever candidate because they support things I don't. That's truth. I grew up in Washington, D.C. area. Well, I got older in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure I ever grew up. But I ate politics for breakfast. This was what I did. I read the Washington Post every day. This was during the Nixon, Watergate, impeachment era. I love politics. I love talking politics, but not anymore. It used to be fun. But it's dangerous now. I just... mostly shut up about it. That's why I like getting with Danny, because he and I can talk and disagree and it doesn't break our relationship. But I can't trust that with a lot of people, so I just don't. You know, that's kind of sad. I don't post on social media. I don't exist on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't post. So, but stay walking by the Spirit. Let's see. How can I wrap up? I think the right is... love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Amen.
How's that?
And then I wanted to share the other scripture that I looked at today in regards to this subject we're discussing, and that's Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went on and laid plans to trap him, and it's Jesus, of course, in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, What is your opinion? Is it right to pay imperial tax to Caesar or not? Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. But the thing that I like about this scripture is even his opponents had great things to say about him. They say, we know you are a man of integrity. You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. And I think that's something for us to strive to be. People who are not swayed in our decision making, and people who pay no attention to who men are and pay more attention to God.
Amen.
Something that I wanted to leave you, if you can take this from me today, is this. Joseph and Mary made the ultimate political decision of their life right before Jesus was born. If you go and look and see Luke 2, you will see that by decree of Caesar Augustus, there was supposed to be a census going on. So he took Mary in his last stage of pregnancy and went about 90 miles. They traveled. And that's the reason why Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because they were actually, Joseph was from the Judah people. And then they registered for the census, and you can see that in the Bible. Okay? So that's, I know God was mapped, you know, where Jesus was supposed to be born. But if you see, every time Joseph had to move to go somewhere, God will let him know. In this case, it didn't happen that way. It was Caesar by decree. And they did what they're supposed to do. Okay? Last Sunday, the 23rd, I want to leave you with this in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. God bless you.
I want to read James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And just continuing with the theme of focusing on God and not letting our divisions divide the church, I think that when we speak to each other, the listening has to happen, I dare say, first. And we absolutely have to understand where someone is at before we come in with everything that we believe. And I believe all of it is just a part of being a disciple. I believe the things in the Bible, they're not just helpful in this sphere, they're helpful everywhere. And if we implement them, they really can make a difference anywhere that we do them. At the ballots or any place, in church, at your workplace, whatever it is that you decide to do. So that's what I would leave you guys with.
Amen. Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments. Let's give the panelists a round of applause again. It's a hard topic to talk. Oh, I'm doing myself now. Abram actually ended early. So it's a hard topic to talk about. It's also hard to stay in 90 seconds. That 90 seconds goes really fast. But I appreciate their doing it, and I appreciate everyone listening. Next week, actually, Kenny is ahead of us. We will cover the scripture that he read from Romans and other scriptures about what the Bible teaches us the attitude of disciples should be towards our government, towards the governing authority. So we'll look at that next week. But we have a couple of minutes for comments. So does anyone like to share or make a comment on what we've talked about today or something you liked that the panelists said? Bill. Amen. Steve?
So I can relate with the runoff. Just being a naturalized citizen coming from a different country, I really appreciate being able to vote freely and make a decision because, there's a lot of countries that would love, like, I'm from Kenya. They're trying to rewrite the same constitution, and it doesn't work. There's so much, it's so broken. We need a lot of prayer in those countries. And so just how the system works here, it's broken, but, it works. You know, the fact that you can, for the first time in a long time, when I came here, I felt safe. And I haven't felt safe when I was in Kenya. It was either you're being terrorized by thugs or the police. And that's, that's in your home country. And so also looking at, Rwanda and all these other countries, there's we are all the same, but there's a huge difference. And that's from Satan, because that's what he does. He wants to divide. And we cannot look to this system for that peace. That peace comes from God and Jesus and His kingdom. His kingdom is that kingdom is beyond our recognition. That's what we need to embrace and not rely on this system. But I do recognize I can relate with you, sir, because it's amazing that the system here works.
Amen. Amen.
I really appreciate Peter and David sharing about just their relationship and interaction, being able to have those conversations in the safe, and I think that's the ultimate goal, that here we can talk about it. just as we're disciples, putting Christ first, like all of you shared in scriptures, yep. If we're putting Christ first, we should be able to freely and openly accept each other's opinions and thoughts and then have a safe place to have these types of discussions.
Amen. Amen. Alex? Amen. Amen. Yes.
To react to what we see, to what we hear, and what he says was very practical.
Amen. Amen. Did you want to say something real quick, almost out of time? Amen. Well, I'm really jealous of Danny Medrano. I wish all my children would vote exactly how I tell them to vote. Okay. Oh. Yeah, obese likelihood. Okay, well, let's close out with a prayer. Go get our children and then come back for church.